Welcome, Remnant, the National Day of Prayer, May 7th, 2020. Stay tuned. Well, good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and I'm coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Oh, it's clouding up this evening. Still have a little bit of sunshine out there, but it's been a beautiful day here this May 7th, 2020. And we are coming to you live. Got a lot accomplished today, working on some mail. Got a good bit of mail out today. And boy, the LDM, I've got to get it reordered. That's been flying off the shelves, and the supplements and the books, the Solar Sanity books, and the Dirt to Soil is a new book that we've got in, and they've sure been going. And so, hey, if we've sold them all, we'll get some more. Just want to let you know. But we thank you for ordering them, and we're glad to be able to continue to provide that type of information out. You don't find this kind of stuff down at if Barnes and Noble's opens back up. You just don't see it down there. It's as simple as that. But I do welcome you here. Today is, across the nation, has been heralded as the National Day of Prayer. And our president, vice president, had a broadcast from the White House. They acknowledged it and prayed and have been praying. And others have been on social media. There have been broadcasts. I've gotten emails today from people with bits and pieces of it. And so we are to be a people of prayer. We've talked about that before. We really go over that on Sunday mornings on a review of the news. We start out with the pistol prayer, and we are to be a day of prayer. And so when our nation calls for a day of prayer, folks, I hope you pray. I hope you do. I want to pray. If you have your books, your Bibles, you can turn to Nehemiah when we pray here in just a minute. I want to pray this prayer from Nehemiah 1 because it is so applicable today. We need it today. I want to remind you, 1 Timothy 2. Timothy is writing Paul is writing to Timothy. A reminder, a letter. Remember this. Remember that. Don't forget this. Make sure you do this. And it says here in chapter 2, starting in verse 1, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. So that should let us know and remind us, Remnant, that we are to pray for one another. The word is very clear about that. We are to pray for one another. We are to consider others' needs. Doesn't the word tell us that when we share one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ? We fulfill the law. That's how important it is. It goes on and says in verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. It goes on and he says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So with all that's going on today, and you know, maybe in your own life, with all that's going on, maybe there's times you do things that are not good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And we've all been there. When we pray for one another. It's good, that is good and acceptable in the sight of God. When we pray for our, we don't have kings anymore, when we pray for our leaders, our mayors, our governors, our senators, our representatives, our president, our vice president, it is so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life. Now, there's a cause and effect there, and I hope you see that, because it's not very quiet and tranquil out there. It has been at the radio ranch. Oh, we've been busier than a one-armed paper hanger, cleaning out the barn, having calves. We're calving now in May, so we got three calves on the ground. The mail, going through the mail, calling people back on the phone. Missed some phone calls. We've got the machine there. We calling people back, placing orders, making CDs and DVDs, and getting those out to the remnant. It's plenty busy here. But compared to the rest of the world, it's quiet and tranquil here. Because we pray for our leaders. And we can claim this promise of God. James is the same way. Didn't mean to start out with this, but it's what's on my mind. It's the people out there need to hear it. James is the same way. I spoke with a brother about that just this week. And because many say, what should we do? What can we do? Pray is the start. That's the beginning. That's not all you do. But that's where you start. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. James 5, where is this? 16. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. So, brethren, if you are out there and need healing, pray for one another. Okay? Remember others in your prayers so you may be healed. Don't we read in Matthew about forgiveness? Forgive others so that your Heavenly Father can forgive you. And so we see this same concept throughout the Scriptures, that prayer, how important that is. When we pray for others, we are blessed. We fulfill the law of Christ. That is important for us to do. We're going to pray. This, you know, we just read Nehemiah in the Bible reading plan here this past week, just finishing up Esther, I think, these last couple days. But we're through Nehemiah last week, and Nehemiah 1, and you have to excuse me, I've got a bit of a frog in my throat. No, it's not named COVID. It's just we turned off a little cool and windy today, so when we were outside, it kind of gets to you a little bit, but that's all right. But Nehemiah, this prayer here in the beginning, I think it applies today. I think it would be appropriate for us to pray it again today, especially on this National Day of Prayer. Saw a headline today, Franklin Graham is part of that National Day of Prayer, and he had said in a quote, "We need wisdom and help from God." And he's absolutely right with that. Where is the beginning with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But it's fools that despise that wisdom and instruction. And we do have a nation full of fools today. But some of them are getting smarter. We're all getting a little smarter. Hopefully. We do need that wisdom and help from God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that you've given us. This time that we live in, this day, and the events of the day, they're exciting times, Lord, they are. Just exactly how they're going to turn out, well, we are going to be victorious in Jesus Christ. Because we have victory in your name, O Lord. You have granted us the victory. You have redeemed your people. And we thank you for that. And we claim you, Lord Jesus. We claim your promises. And we thank you for this time. Help us to open the eyes of your remnant. Help us to help them, to lead, guide, and direct them so that they don't worry, so that they don't fret, They can be concerned, but not to fret, O Lord. Help us with that. Lord, as we look to your word, all of your word that is given, Lord, 2 Timothy 3 tells us that all scripture is inspired by you and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Lord, help us to equip those men out there. Father, we pray for men as we did last night on the Wednesday night prayer meeting. We pray for godly men. Help us to train them in righteousness and to use your word so that we may be equipped to do your good work. Lord, as Nehemiah prayed, we beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against you. I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word which you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered were in the most remote part of the heavens, I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name, and make your servants successful. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I like the last part of that. Who delight, your servants, who delight to revere your name. Or fear is another word for that revere, if you don't want to understand it. And if you fear the SWAT team, and if you fear your governor, and if you fear the Department of Justice, which is really injustice, and if you fear what the local Department of Health can do to you, and if you fear Bill Gates, and if you fear this plandemic, yes, I've seen part of the video, it's made the rounds again and again and again, and I'm not knocking it, I'm rejoicing. I thank each and every one of you, pray God's blessings on you, those of you that have shared it and put this and shared and in social media and in emails and everywhere that you can have put this pandemic videos, these videos out. Praise God. See, truth is getting out. Our pastor he preached this for 35 years. See, now it's getting out to the masses. Now, the masses aren't going to believe it. But your servants who delight to revere your name, O Lord God, open their eyes, open their ears, open their hearts. O Father, those that delight, that have joy in revering your name and honoring you, O Lord, in fearing you. For those, O Lord, we pray your protection. We pray your protection. And we thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your truth is getting out. That, Lord, the truth your prophet, the seer, spoke of for 35 years of the fake news. Well, Lord, now the president talks about it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that affirmation. In Jesus' name, amen. See, we are to pray. We pray for one another. Oh, Lord, you know, we can pray for prodigals to come home. I pray that. I pray it for my prodigals to come home, and for those out there that I know of your prodigals, I pray for them as well. Because that's what we do. That's what we are to be doing. We pray for those that don't see I know we get frustrated with them sometimes, and we get angry that maybe our friends or family don't see these truths. Now's not the time to try to convince them. Now's the time to be praying for them and to be the living godly example. And they'll come to you. They will come back to you. You know, I hope you understand and have read Ezra and Nehemiah. If you haven't read it just recently in our Bible reading plan, I encourage you to go back and read it. There's so much there. You see how they came back. They were coming back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the wall. And so when they did that, you know, one little side note you'll notice out of Ezra and Nehemiah, it wasn't all Ezra. And it wasn't all Nehemiah. But you read through, like in Ezra 8, the people who went with Ezra, there was a lot of people, and they name them by name. You read through Nehemiah, who was it that worked? Who was it that came back and rebuilt portions of the wall? And they go through it. And, you know, when I think about the remnant, I think about our ministry and the other ministries out there. When I look through this, I see familiar names and I think of it, you know, here, when they rebuilt different parts. And the signers of the documents, the covenant that they made to serve, to observe all the commandments of God, and not to give their daughters to the people, and all the people that signed it, and those that dedicated. I mean, there's just the names. Sometimes you might think there's no reason to read these names, but when you read them through, think about the different people that you know that are Christians, that understand this, that have returned to God, that revere His name. Maybe those that you've seen in Branson over the years. And, you know, this year's been a tough year for that. It's just not worked out. And so who knows what next year brings? We'll have to wait and see. But when you read through them, and you see the names, I hope that you picture modern day Christians, that maybe this man came, you know, these came and built this part. In Nehemiah 3, it talks about Elisha, the high priest, with his brothers, the priest, and built the sheep gate. Next to him, the men of Jericho built. Next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. The sons of Hassanah built the fish gate. Next to them, Miramoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hakoz, made repairs. Next to him, Meshulam. And when I read through that, I think how it applies today. How, you know, we've got people in New York that are doing things there. And we've got people in Florida that are rejoicing and building up God's people there. We've got people in California doing that. And Alaska. And Nebraska. And Oklahoma. And Missouri. And all the states. That we have people doing that, just like we read in Nehemiah, how they came together, they rebuilt the wall. Oh, their work was ridiculed then, just like many of us are ridiculed now. But there's victory. There was victory then, and there's victory now. There is victory now. You know, one of the things that Nehemiah did, I've mentioned it on the review of the news on Sunday morning, is in Ezra 8, they read from the law. They read from the law. They asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law. And Ezra brought it, and they read it. And it says the people were attentive to the book of the law. And let me tell you something, folks. Our people in this country are getting more attentive to the book of the law. Oh, it's not the Torah. No, it's not some Jewish, oh, the book of the law that you must... No, it is, but it is the book of the law. It is the gospel, the Old Testament, the New Testament. We see these things are written beforehand as a foreshadowing of what is happening today. We understand that. We understand that. We know that that's what it was. So we have to go back and look. What does the Bible say? It tells us to go look to the rock from which we were hewn. The rock of your salvation. The rock of escape. What do we read in Psalms 91? It is He who delivers you from the snare. It is He. He is our refuge and our fortress. What foundation do we build on but the rock of Christ? The headlines today, and I've probably got 20 pages of notes here. Saw this, 2020 may be a high grasshopper year out here in Wyoming. Well, why not? The locusts have swarmed through Ethiopia and northern Africa. We have a friend, and I can attest to it. I saw the video. He showed it to me. We have we've met a family out here locally, and the husband works in Ethiopia. It's a white Christian couple out here that are popping out kids left and right, beautiful little towheads, and but he works in Ethiopia several months out of the year. And I asked him. We were over there a couple weekends ago, and I asked him. I said, "What is this about the locust?" He said, "Let me show you this." He had a video, and you've never seen anything like it. You could see probably for 20 miles in front of you and left and right, and it was just these big old grasshoppers swarming. It was like when you walk outside in mosquito time, or you know, there's bugs all in the grass, and you walk through and they just swarm you. But it was miles and miles. And he said, yeah, they eat everything. And he said there were some places that had harvested before they came, and that was the only thing that saved them. But he said many places over there just devastated. People are going to be more attentive to this book. And we need to be ready for that. We need to go back and, you know, we've heard it. We've had it preached to us. We've had it told to us. We've had it pounded into our heads for the last 35 years or however long you've been on this ministry. Now it's time to apply it. You know, I know I've said that before very recently. It's what comes to mind. It is. The headlines, did you see, had an earthquake today in South New Mexico. Saturday, today's only Thursday, last Saturday had a 3.4, I think it was, in California, 3.4 earthquake in California. Had a 5.7 last Saturday earthquake on the other side of the country in Puerto Rico, off the eastern seaboard. Nothing in the news. Almost nothing. I heard one blurb and researched it a little bit. Haven't seen a picture. Haven't heard a thing about it. Oh, Hollister fire in California, up over 200 acres, driven by 40-mile-an-hour winds. It's a little early for fires in California, but boy, they're hitting. You can tune in to the news for the headlines. And we'll talk about some of these on Sunday morning, I think, on the review of the news. But we need to look to His Word. And Ezra and Nehemiah, they were in a similar situation. They had not obeyed God. And guess what? We haven't obeyed God as a nation. We've turned from Him. We've turned and lost our first true love. We have. We've worshipped gods of other nations. Read about it, Nehemiah. Nehemiah 9, 16. Let's take a look at it real quick. 16. But they, our fathers, acted arrogantly, and we have too, you have too, acted arrogantly. They became stubborn and would not listen to your commandments. They refused to listen and did not remember your wondrous deeds which you had performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And you did not forsake them. And I might add, you haven't forsaken us, O Lord, and never will. Even when they made for themselves a calf of molten metal and said, "This is your God who brought you up from Egypt," and committed great blasphemies, you in your great compassion did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not leave them by day to guide them on their way, nor the pillar of fire by night to light for them the way in which they were to go. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. Manna and water you gave them. See, when we praise Him, when we read of His goodness, of His mercy, when we read these things, as 2 Timothy 3 says, because all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. How do you get trained in righteousness? You read this here. That says, even when our fathers acted arrogantly against you, Lord, you led them. See, that gives us hope today. Because we've acted that way. And it gives us hope today. When it says, you gave your good spirit to them. See, the Holy Spirit didn't just come when Jesus left. The Holy Spirit, just as Christ has always been with God, as God, is God. Your manna, it says, you did not withhold from their mouth. You gave them water for their thirst. Indeed, 40 years you provided for them in the wilderness, and they were not in want. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet swell. So I hope that you see, and when you know, how does this allude to righteousness? Well, when we see this and we read it, and we are reminded that God provided for them then for 40 years. Then I hope it reminds you, for those that, as Nehemiah prayed in the beginning, and we did too, your servants who delight to revere your name, that He'll provide for you, if He has to, in the next 40 years. For those that revere His name, for those that honor His name, and His name is Jesus Christ. And He has many names, Adonai, Jehovah, words that you can see in the Bibles that we have. Don't make any up. Don't call Him Yahushua Mahawahashi Wahushiwiwi. Yahuishuish. No, that's not the name of God. Those that revere His name, and in our English language, it is Jesus Christ. It is as simple as that. And there's going to be people more interested in this book, being more attentive to the book of the law. So be ready to be a teacher. Be ready to be an instructor. Just remember the words. You're held to a higher standard if that's what you're going to do. So you better make sure that you give the right answers when you're asked. That you study to show yourself approved. That you don't react in arrogance or pride or get puffed up. I look forward to Nehemiah 9, when it says, while they stood in their place, says the descendants of Israel separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. While they stood in their place, they read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a fourth of the day. For another fourth, they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. I look forward to that. When that's happening on the courthouse steps, when that's happening on every state capitol step, when it's happening in Washington, D.C. as well. When we, His people who are called by His name, humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways. That is what is needed. That is what is needed. Spoken with several men. And folks, we're live tonight, so the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913 if you want to call in. Getting a beautiful sunset. I wish you could see the picture of the birds flying out back and at the view that I've got here back toward the Laramie River. We're cloudy, but the sun is shining through the clouds, so it's just like the trees are lit up, but it's dark above, and oh, it's beautiful. You know, our God is so good to us. You ever think about that? Just the colors that He gives us. The colors, because He loves us. Because He loves us. He wants us to return to Him. And that is what we do. I've spoken with several people lately. What are we to do? What's going to happen? You know, and I've gotten this answer from several people of different backgrounds, different levels of understanding, was that what's been going on has just been another test from the enemy. Well, it's a test from God as well to see who we're going to fear, who we're going to honor, what we're going to do, but a test from the enemy. And I thought that this was quite interesting, was that, so we saw the store shelves empty of toilet paper and paper towels and disinfectant, wipes and bleach and spray and that type of stuff for a short period of time. And it seems like panic ensued across the nation in many places, not all, but in many. Some of us just kind of shook her head, you know, and in awe and wonder. But that was over paper goods and disinfectant. And so, Remnant, how's it going to be? And again, this is what's come up from in my conversation with several different people. How's it going to be if those store shelves are empty of all the meat and all the bread and all the vegetables and all the milk? And all the canned and boxed goods. What's it going to be like then? Well, then it's going to be a little more than an inconvenience. Remember, our enemies play chess. We're still figuring out checkers, and they're playing chess. They're three moves ahead and three games ahead of us. It's how our enemy is. Do I tell you this to get you scared? Is that how you want it to be? No. You can listen. I've been traveling, driving down. We printed the newsletter a couple weeks ago, and you know, you try to pick up some of the AM talk radio just to find out what's going on outside of the heavy mainstream media, some of the local talk shows, and boy, they're all but just fear mongers. Oh, guess what? Stay tuned. We're going to tell you what's coming next, and they play on that fear that the people have. Well, that's not what we do. Here we tell you, God gave His good Spirit to instruct them for 40 years in the wilderness, and if He's got to do it again, He can. We read that they were not in want. Their clothes didn't wear out, nor did their feet swell. And during this time, they thrived. It says their sons numerous as the stars of heaven, and brought them into the land which he gave them. It says, so they ate and were filled and grew fat and reveled in God's great goodness. See, that's what's in store. That's what's in store for those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High. Because they will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. They will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. He's done it before. And he's getting ready to do it again. For those that call upon the rock. For those that know who that rock is. For those that know, for those that abide in Christ, and Christ abides in them. Quick song for you. Phone lines are open, folks. We'll be right back. 307-745-5913. Be right back after this. Listen to the words. He is our rock of escape.
King Saul on his trail, David hastily flees, with a handful of followers, so much to seize. He pursues them through passes of rocky flies, with his weapons of war and his speed and his wiles. He gets closer and closer, yet David still smiles. As the hand of old Saul seems to close on his prey, David turns to the skies and cries, Lord, lead the way. Just as word comes, our armies invade the land, and King Saul has to turn back, and we understand how the Lord rescued David as he had it planned. For the Lord is a rock like the rock of escape, like a mountain of refuge and rock of escape. Like a welcoming cave, he will shield and will save, and the grace he just drink round the rock of escape. Before you, the sheep of the rock of escape. So the Lord rescued David and all of his men, and then raised up a kingdom and means to again. Though these latter days darken and signs appear grim, yet the cup of his promise is full to the brim, that his people will bow and obey only him. For the Lord is a rock like the rock of escape, like a mountain of refuge and rock of escape. Like a welcoming king, he will shield and will save, with the grace he does drip round the rock of escape. See before you the shape of the rock of escape. For the Lord is a rock like the rock of escape, like a mountain of refuge and rock of escape. Like a welcoming king, he will shield and will save, with the grace he does drip round the rock of escape. See before you the shape of the rock of escape.
Amen. The rock of escape. He was there for David. He'll be here for you. For those that abide, they will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, John 15:7 says, the words of Jesus, he said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now, what is the word? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We read in this same book. And so he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, meaning if you abide in me and I abide in you, he says, ask and it'll be granted to you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Not just say that you're my disciples. We've talked about that. You may say, or somebody may tell somebody else that you're a Christian, and you can be under scrutiny. We talked about that a little bit last night. I've certainly lived that. But prove to be his disciples. Now, does that mean anything you want, you ask? No. No. He hears and answers prayers, and sometimes those answers are no. Verse 11 here in John 15 says, "These things I have spoken to you." That's Jesus speaking to his disciples, speaking to me, speaking to you. Jesus Christ speaking to us, saying, "These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." That's what our friend, our Savior, our King, our lawgiver, our judge wants for us. For our joy to be made full. You drop on down a little bit. He says, "You are my friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Does that mean that you have to be perfect and obey every rule and law? No. No. But I told you earlier, the Word tells us if we share one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. That's what He commands us to do. To love God, to love our neighbor as ourself. Our entire American society is based on that. That's what makes the Constitution work. That's what makes the Bill of Rights work. Love your neighbor as yourself. If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to want him to not be able to defend himself. That's the basis. So you want to call Jesus friend? You are my friends if you do what I command you. This is what he commands us. In 1 John 5, verse 3, he tells us, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." That we keep his commandments. I like verse 19 here. It says, "We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." And I hope you see how this ties right in with how Nehemiah prayed and how we prayed earlier. "For those that delight, O Lord, in revering your name." Doesn't mean we have to stand on the street corner and preach it 20 hours a day. No. But in what we choose to do, and what we choose not to do, in the decisions we make. That ties right in with how many times do we read through this? "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whom you will delight in serving." And if it's Baal, serve Baal. And if it's God, serve God. I've got at the top of this page in my Bible, written and underlined, and an exclamation mark after it, "Our faith." Our faith. Because guess what? Guess what is the victory? you know, again, 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. We want to be overcomers, right? And this is the victory that has overcome the world. You want to know what's overcome the world? You want to know what is the victory that has overcome the world? Well, hey, you come back next Thursday, and we'll get to that point, okay? And you think about it all week. I remember Pastor Peter used to do that, and he'd have them on there too. We'd get phone calls. What? Oh, is Pastor live tonight? I got to know. He led us right up to it and made us wait. Well, I'm not going to do that for you. I'm not going to do that to you. You can read it. 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that has overcome the world. This is the victory that has overcome COVID. This is the victory that has overcome Bill Gates and his Georgia Guidestones. This is the victory that has overcome the SWAT. This is the victory that has overcome the mandatory wearing your mask. Mandatory vaccinations coming. Oh, I've heard them. Yeah. Bring them on. This is the victory that has overcome the world and all the crap that comes with it. You know what it is? Our faith. Our faith. Our faith that we know. We know. Turn to Romans 8:28. We're running out of time tonight. And Remnant, we're running out of time. Our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That He is our refuge. That because of Him we are redeemed. What can man do to me? Our faith. As Romans 8:28 puts it, we know. We know that God works all things for good for those that love Him. We may not understand it. We may not like it. But we know. That is our faith. My Father was nine-fingered, one-eyed, had a broke back, worked every day of his life. And he had me put on his tombstone. Never had a bad day. I got to baptize him at the Rocky Mountain Family Bible Camp in 2002. Boy, it's hard to rejoice always. It's hard to say, to know His Word is true. But His Word is true, folks. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith in Jesus Christ. His Word, His promises. Folks, join us Saturday morning for Coffee with the Wranglers. 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central. 9 a.m. Eastern. So that's 6 a.m. on the West Coast. It's a little early for you guys. Coffee with the Wranglers. We'll have the phone lines open. We'll take your calls and your comments. And we're going to go out with that song one more time. Rock of Escape. Hope you go back and read. I just read this about David. You know, David was honorable. Saul was not. Saul had him. Had him dead to rights, and he was fixing to get him. But he didn't. Hey, we'll see you Saturday morning.
With King Saul on his trail, David hastily flees. With a handful of followers, Saul wants to seize. He pursues them through passes of rocky defiles. With his weapons of war and his speed and his wiles, he gets closer and closer, yet David still smiles. As the hand of old Saul seems to close on his prey, David turns to the skies and cries, Lord, lead the way. Just as word comes of armies invading the land, and King Saul has to turn back, and we understand how the Lord rescued David as he had it planned. For the Lord is a rock like escape. Like a welcoming cave, he will shield and will save with the great eaters with round the rock of escape. See before you the sheep of the rock of escape. So the Lord rescued David and all of his men, and then raised up a kingdom and these two again. Though these latter days darken and signs appear grim, yet the cup of his promise is full to the brim. If his people will bow and obey only him. For the Lord is a rock like the rock of escape, like a mountain of refuge and rock of escape. Like a welcoming king, he will shield and will save with the grace he does drip round the rock of escape. See before you the shape of the rock of escape. For the Lord is a rock like the rock of escape, like a mountain of refuge and rock of escape. Like a welcoming king, he will shield and will save with the grace he does drape round the rock of escape.